I'll be back again. I promised last week that we're going to try to take up exactly where we stopped here because I was dealing with something that it's kind of like I call it walking on thin ice sometimes because sometimes the church world or the ministerial world don't like to hear these things, but it's truth anyway. God can call everybody to the fivefold ministry to go out and do certain things. Certain things you have to be done in cooperation with what God's already doing. I don't know if that makes sense. See, you see, when God called a work with a vision, God need that to be completed. And he need people around him, around the leader, to help complete those tasks and to fulfill the vision. So we need to come into union and oneness and submission to what's already been established and not try to get to the point where you need to establish your own vision. I hope the church will come to that point of understanding that because God has something you need to fit into in the earth realm. And it seems to me that sometimes the enemy tried to abort everything God tried to accomplish in the earth realm by calling people off before they finish. What do you mean? Satan want to call you off. Nehemiah was building a wall over in the book of Nehemiah. And they try to call Nehemiah off the wall. And Nehemiah said, "I'm not coming off the wall. You got to finish this wall." So when God called officials of vision, especially here at Word Life Christian Center, an apostle gave us the threefold vision. I told you last week, change the life of people with the word of God, equipping the body of Christ to evangelize the world and making covenant winners. He gave those threefold vision. Well, those three things have to come to a place of completion. And so Satan's job is to call people off the wall before the vision comes to a completion. And a lot of times Satan, with his trickery, with his scheming, and with his craftiness, try to call people off what God has started in them, making them think in their own way that God is calling them to do something else. No, God never changes mind. God never changes mind, church, when he calls you to do something. Sometimes it's our own, what word to use, class? Ministry. And we get into our own calling. And we get in our own, want our own authority. And want our own this. And want our own that. And the deception of the enemy. I know this don't sound like good teaching. I know this sound like I'm going against the grain, but class, sometimes you need to hear what I'm saying. If you're gonna be an assistant to your spiritual leader, you need to hear what I'm saying. If you're gonna be worth anything in ministry, you need to listen to what I'm saying, because what I'm saying is the truth. And the Lord, I think the Lord has me here for these years to help the body of Christ to see that there's a lot of service needs to be done right where you are, right what you're doing. That calling in you is genuine, but make sure that God, make sure you're hearing the voice of God before you make any serious decision to go do something else. Because I'm gonna say this, if there is something else for you, Your spiritual leader knows it. Your spiritual leader is not holding you back. If God got something for you, the Holy Ghost knows. See, God always sends people out. I've always believed this, just like in the 13th chapter. I got to get back to my lesson. Just like in the 13th, I'm just on a little trail right now. Just like in the 13th chapter of Acts, the Holy Ghost says, separate me, Paul and Barnabas, for the work which I have called them to do. If there's another work, God going to put it through the spiritual leader to send you out. Yeah, you can just go out if you want. Yeah, a lot of them just leave and go. We have many just left and went, but it wasn't sent. You don't want to be one of the went one. And you know, and I got to get off of this right quick. You know, many of them that just went, they're just like Trinidad. They're just going round and round and round in circles. I don't know any of them yet that have produced any real fruit. Now they might have built a building and did this and did that, but all they're doing it in the name of the Lord, like we asked last week. Can they say they did it in God's name, in Jesus' name? Well, enough to say about that, but it's still with my lesson anyway. So, make sure your rod butted. We need to learn not to speak inadvertently, not to offer opinions carelessly. Our spirit must also be kept open toward the Lord, expecting his ready light. What that ready light is, his revelation, his revealing illumination on the inside of you, exactly what you ought to do. You know, I always, always desire to do that which please God. And my whole desire was to stay connected to the vision. The vision, I tell you what, provide more for you than you can ever get on your own. Amen. Amen. Now, if we do not keep our spirits open toward God, we will drag God, this, not this, into our error and do things in his name which are not of him. Oh, Jesus, I'm not making this up. All this I'm saying, class, is with my class here. This is a good book. If you want to listen and do what's right in the sight of God, and this might not be a so good book if you got your own plans already set out and to, your own ideas of what you need to be doing. Some of you wrestling now with this very thing I'm talking about. You know, you might be wanting your own thing. But what I'm saying is now, is this you don't want to drag God into your error and do things in his name which are not of him. Yeah, I know it don't taste good. I don't even like to say it. But it's a warning to me if I don't stay in class. A couple more statements, then I'm going to move on to something else now. Otherwise, let me go on to this. For this reason, we must learn on the one hand how to submit and on the other hand how to represent God. This means we must know the cross and the resurrection. And I want to say the problem is most people have never learned the cross, what the cross is for, and submitted to dying on the cross, but don't want to die. Well, the cross is a place of death. And when you lay yourself willingly, I think that's the word, Jesus willingly, class, went to that cross. Didn't have to force him to the cross. He willingly went to the cross and he willingly died. Father, oh my goodness, into thy hands I commend my spirit. He willingly died. And on the third day, Jesus didn't raise himself from the dead. God raised him from the dead. The book of Romans, the 8th chapter says, the same spirit, I'm paraphrasing, that raised Jesus from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies. So the same process, the same cross, the same resurrection process, we got to go through it, class. We got to go through the resurrection process, and we don't want to go through the cross nor the nor experience the resurrection. Whether the church has a failure, has a future, or let me read again. Whether the church has a future depends very much on how well we learn our lesson. And this lesson here, class, oh, Jesus, has to be received. Has to be received. If you're going to be able to follow God and his plan and be able to fulfill the work which God has called you to. God called us, all of us, to do something. We all have an assignment. And God always calls us to do something according to his will. But you have to be able to have enough spiritual maturity to know exactly what God is saying to you and what he expects out of you and what he wants you to do. Now, I'm getting to this next lesson now, this next section of this chapter. It says authority comes from ministry and ministry from resurrection. It's another good one, Claire. I'm still drilling. I hear Apostle say sometimes, I'm drilling a hole so you can go through. I went through this hole. That I'm drilling. I'm drilling this hole so others can come through this hole and see exactly what God is trying to do in these latter times here. The church got to become one. The local church has to become one. And the larger church, which is the universal body of Christ, has to become one if we're going to finish this work that God has assigned us to do. See, it's time for the church to go to work. Within the four walls and without the four walls. But what God has established within the four walls, with that spiritual leader needs some submission, and that spiritual leader also needs some obedience to carry out what God wants to be done in this earth realm. Yes, in the larger body and in the local body. Yes and amen. A person's authority is based on his ministry. Listen at this now. See. You can read this book, and you might not fully perceive everything that I'm saying when you read the book. But the reason I can share what's in this book, because I'm functioning within the measure of the calling that God has put upon me. Let me put it like this. Apostles function at a level that those that are submitted to can't function in, because he's functioning in his measure of authority and the measure of his ministry. So that's what we're going to talk about for a little while. The measure of authority cannot exceed the measure of your ministry. Oh, let me see. You see, Jesus said, the student is not above the teacher. What would that mean? It doesn't mean that the student don't know as much as the teacher, but God not going to permit you to function above the measure of your ministry. And at this particular time, I'm functioning in the measure of the ministry God had given me, that's to instruct you. That's why I see what more than you, than what this book say. Oh, Lord, I'm trying to get it across the best I can. Hope you understand. So a person's authority is based on his ministry, and his ministry is in turn based upon the resurrection. Now, we explain what resurrection is. Resurrection is that which passed through death and lives. And you remember Aaron's rod? Aaron's rod determined his ministry. And his ministry determined his authority. And that's what we're going to dwell on for a little while here. If there is no resurrection, there can be no ministry. And if there is no ministry, there is no authority. Class, here's what we're going to do. Here's what we're going to do. I got to make this plain to you. I need to make it plain. Go to Numbers 17 and 5 with me. Numbers 17 and 5. I want to share a little more light in this, but I need to go to Numbers 17, verse 5. Just one second here. Okay, I got it here. Numbers 17 and 5, this whole thing talks about Moses and Aaron, but when the people, the leaders challenged Aaron about his ministry, see, they not only challenged the authority, but it also challenged ministry. And ministry is different from authority. Your authority, I said earlier, cannot exceed your ministry. Listen to this now. And it shall come to pass that the man's rod, well, to give you the full context of this, God told Moses to tell the people to choose a rod and write the name upon every man write the name on his rod, every tribe, whether it was the tribe of Reuben, you know, tribe of Ephraim, or whatever tribe it was, to write the name on the rod, and they were going to set them in before the altar of God. And the one that budded is going to be the one whom he called. Let me read now. And it shall come to pass that the man's rod, whom I shall choose, shall blossom, and I will make to cease from the murmuring of the children of Israel, whereby they murmur against you. Well, they're trying to decide that if Aaron had the authority and Moses had the authority that they claimed to have, because they figured they all was leaders. They figured they all had the same authority. But you're gonna find out that Aaron's rod sprouted, it blossomed. A dead rod resurrected and blossomed. And all their rods, those other 11 rods, never did anything. The name was on it, but it had no sprout. Sometimes your name can be on something, but it don't sprout. Oh, I'm saying more than you're listening to them. So Aaron's ministry came from resurrection. Without that, he could not serve at all. Without the resurrection of his rod being sprouted, God would have been saying, I didn't call him either. But because his rod sprouted, God signified before the people that Aaron is my chosen one. Now, with that being said, now, he could not serve at all without resurrection. God has never set up an authority with anyone who is without ministry. God has never set up as an authority anyone who is without ministry. So now, God gave the authority, but God also gave the ministry. Now we're going to find out how these two work together, how authority works with the ministry and the ministry works with the authority. So do you mean I can have ministry without authority? Yes, you can minister of authority, but we're going to call it something else. We're going to call it positional ministry. Now, what is positional ministry? We're getting a little deep water in my class. Positional ministry is when you have a title, but your rod never budded. Oh, Jesus. When you have taken on a title, but there's no authority with it. It happens all the time. These 11 men had it. These different tribes had it. They all had a rod. Yeah, they had a rod. But they didn't have the authority. And because they didn't have the authority, because they didn't have the ministry. Are you with me? I hope you stay with me. Stay with me, Claire. Stay with me. I'm taking my time because we're in some deep waters here. Today, authority is not a matter of position. You see it? You can get a position. I mean, you can get a little sign. You can get a building, put up a sign on it. And then you can call all kind of work. You can establish something. But it may have a ministry without authority. What's authority? Without God's name stamped upon it. Oh, my. This is one of the purposes of the apostolic ministry. Let me tell you what happened to me. See, that's why you got to have an apostle. Thank God for apostle. Now, last week I referred to myself. I can't refer to nobody else to myself. Oh, let's see, almost 40 years ago, 39 years ago for sure. I'm sitting in the back of a van with an apostle. He's going to preach at a prison ministry some 37, almost 40 years ago. I'm sitting on the left side of the van, and he's sitting on the right side. He's studying. I never saw him without a Bible in his hand in my experience of being with him, even to this day, always before God. That's why I honor him in such a capacity that I do, because I've seen it with my own eyes. Experience it. And so, I had this vision. In the vision, looked like God was calling me to preach the gospel. And I told him this vision. I said, Pastor. He said, what, son? I said, I believe I'm called. He looked at me, straightened my eyes. You're not called. Went back to study, and that was the end of that conversation. Well, I say that to say this. An apostle, a challenge the ministry. Apostle, challenge you to make sure that you know whether your rod is being butted or if there's anything that God is fixing to do with you. And what that did, that sent me to seek God, because I don't want to do anything of my own mind. I don't want to do anything that God not required of me to do. Because in the first place, I don't want to do nothing knowing. And when he said that, I mean the pressure looked like this left me. I said, oh God, thank you so much, because I didn't want to be called. Didn't want anything to do with it. Never had the personality for it. Never liked to be before people. I had all kinds of excuses. But lo and behold, when that conversation ceased, the impression wouldn't leave me. The impact wouldn't leave me. The burden didn't leave me. I carried that around for 6 months, trying to get this thing off of me for 6 months. Don't want it on me. Don't know what to do with it. Finally, finally, I go back to Apostle. I said, Apostle, I'm called. He said, yes, son, I knew it, but I can't call you. I couldn't call you. You have to get it from the Lord. And from that day forward, I knew that God was calling something particular in me and for me. And so my point is this, that it just created a ministry, but it was not a positional ministry. We're gonna cover that as we go on. Today's authority is not a matter of position. You can function in a positional ministry without a spiritual ministry. You see, a spiritual ministry is if what I have to receive from God, a ministry that God has ordained and put his hand upon, and you know without a shadow of a doubt, you know that God has put his hand on you. Don't have all the answers yet, but you know God has put his hand upon you. Where spiritual ministry is lacking, there can be no positional authority. Unless there first be a spiritual ministry established, like God confirming through apostolic means that you're being furthered to his work, then there can be no positional authority. And positional authority is that authority which God positioned you in, but yet under authority. Now I know that God called me. Now, what I do now? What I do now? I didn't do anything. I just went along, status quo, like everything, nothing ever changed. What happened next was God started doing some things. I did not try to strive for ministry. I did not try to make anything happen upon my own strength. Everything else happened. God had to, I'm trying to find the word, class. I didn't pursue it. It pursued me. Oh, that's the best way to say it. Ministry should pursue you, and you don't have to pursue it. It come to you. Everything just came to me. I don't remember how everything. I don't remember how I got here today, doing what I'm doing today. But it just kept pursuing me. I just kept making myself available. It just kept pursuing me. You see it? So you don't have to go after ministry. It'll come after you. And you don't have to place yourself. It'll position. Oh, my goodness. I'm trying to say more than you're listening. You don't have to try to place yourself. It'll position you. That's why I'm talking about positional authority. I'm here because God placed me here. God placed me here through apostolic means, through the vision. I'm trying to show you how to get to where God wants you to go. God knew how to take it through the maze of ministry, a maze, M-A-Z-E. That sometimes seem like you're going through a maze, you know, because sometimes you bump your head on this wall. No, God knows how to lead you through the maze of ministry. And when you lead you through the maze of ministry, you end up exactly where he wants you to go. If you let him do, and ministers are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. When God said, go here, I went there. When God did this, I did that. I wish I could show you how I did it, but I don't know how I did it, Claire. I wish I could show you how it was all constructed, but I don't know how it was constructed. I just let it happen. Let it just happen, class. Let it just happen. Just study your Bible. Just study. Keep on studying. And it'll happen. God will place you where you need to be when you need to be there. God has a God has a timing and a time frame and a wisdom. And God just know how to do this thing, class. This might be one of these, this lesson is more profound than you think it is. It's more profound. It's more profound. Whoever has spiritual service before God has authority before men. Whoever has spiritual service before God has spiritual authority before men. This means that one spiritual ministry gives him authority among God's children. It means that one spiritual ministry gives him authority among, not over, among God's children. Some people want authority over God's children, but among God's children. So over the years, you know, I was hired for some years as a staff minister by apostle. I don't know how it happened. It just happened. I just kept on serving. And one day I was serving through ministry school way back in the early 90s. Apostle was teaching in his Bible class, the ministry school class, and I'm on the camera. We were filming the class. Apostle teaching the class. I don't know what class he was teaching. And Apostle stopped teaching the class. He said, "Ronald, you can quit your job tomorrow and I'm gonna hire you." You see, I didn't do that, class. My goodness, I'm trying to show you how God takes your place and you can't go by yourself through the apostolic ministry. I'm telling you, it's more than you know. I never tried to make nothing happen. So I go to work the next day. I'm still on my job working in the chemical plant. Had a good paying job. Oh man, they paid as well at those plants. Lived better than ever lived. Bought things never thought I could have. I was doing good. And so I go to work the next day. I hope you don't mind me taking a little trip, class. I go to work the next day. I'm sure how spiritual things work. I go to work the next day. And at this time, I was sitting in the office. I was in the planning office at the chemical plant. We planned for different turnarounds, planned for a daily work schedule. And that's what I was doing. I'm sitting behind the desk. I'm trying to get my paperwork straight. I'm trying to function. But class, for some reason, I couldn't function. And I asked myself, I said, what's wrong with me? I forgot about yesterday. Wasn't thinking about yesterday. Yesterday wasn't on my mind. But I know something wasn't right. I'd never been here before. Never felt this before. Oh, class, go with me now. I'm trying to show you what the Spirit of God can do to you if you permit him and not try to go after nothing. I didn't go after this. It came after me. God orchestrated this. I don't know how I'm telling you, I got here, but I don't know how. And so I go to my supervisor. He said, he sent something wrong with me. He said, what's wrong, Ronald? I said, I don't know. I said, feel like I can't work here no more. They've been there for 20 years. 20 years, class. 20 years of this chemical plant. He said, what you gonna do? You gonna quit? I said, yeah, that's what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna quit. See, I never quit a job. I never quit a job before, so I didn't even know how to quit. He said, what you gonna do? Go to Rody? Rody what you call these people? Somebody help me, Claire. What do you call these people? she work in the human resource, HR. She work in HR. I said, yeah, let's go to Rody. Rody was the human resource people, and I had a relationship. 20 years, I had a relationship with all those people at the plant. I went to Rody. Rody said, what's wrong, Mr. Gautreau? I said, Rody, I can't work anymore. I got to quit. She said, what? I said, yeah, I got to quit. I said, I believe God called me to go work in the ministry. She started crying. And the nurse officer was next door to her, and she heard, and I'm trying to think of her name. I'm trying to think of her name. Ninth lady. Ninth lady. Alma. Miss, we called Miss Alma. She was a nurse. She said, "Ron, what's wrong?" I said, "I'm quitting, Miss Alma." She said, "You quitting?" She started crying. Man, because you had a relationship with these people. And so now my superintendent come up to me, say, "Ronnie, you quitting?" I said, "Yeah." I said, "I'm quitting." He said, "I tell you what, if it don't work out for you, I'm gonna hire you right back." My goodness, I mean, you talking about 37 years after that, almost 30 years passed from then. It's too late now, huh? And then so my point of class is that I didn't seek after that. I didn't go after nothing. I didn't strive for ministry. I didn't strive. God just put you in places. And so I just followed God. You know, God never told me to go do something else. No, God never told me. I just sat and let God lead me. Most people don't can't do go partake. They can't do that. They can't do that. You don't want to do that. They watch too many other people make too many other mistakes, and they think that's the route to go. No, you don't want to follow the mistake group. Fight, follow your spirit. And the Lord don't tell you to do nothing. You don't do nothing, but that don't mean God ain't doing nothing. God always orchestrating something. You see, and you don't put God on a timetable or time schedule. I say, "God, if you don't call me to do nothing else, I'm fine just doing this." And I could take the whole transition. It'll take me hours and hours, and I'll tell you everything the Lord has done since I've been serving my Apostle Thompson. Who then, isn't that this statement, Claire? Who then can fight for this authority? For there's no way to strive for ministry. That's my whole point. I guess that's why the Lord got me teaching this book, because I never strived for ministry, never went after it. I'd always believed that what I'm doing, God told me to do it. Just as ministry is distributed by the Lord, so authority is also decided by Him. I'm going to say it again. Just as ministry, excuse me, Claire, got my nose all running. Just as ministry is distributed by the Lord, so authority is also decided by Him. See, God does that. All authority is based on ministry. Aaron possessed authority because he had service before God. His censer could atone for the people and cause the plague to cease, whereas the censers of the 250 leaders were cursed by God. My goodness. They burn up before the Lord. Now, this is probably the last statement I can make before this class over with. These men were leaders, but could not stand in Aaron's office. Their job was to serve Aaron. They were leaders. But they could not stand in Aaron's office because their job was to serve Aaron. So your ministry. Now here's a good place to say this. Stay in your lane. Your authority should never exceed your ministry. And what the problem was here, they tried to allow the authority, I'm talking about the 250 men, to exceed ministry. If they were stayed in his land, if they stayed in their leadership position and just submitted to Moses and Aaron, they would never have been destroyed, nor they nor their families, because they thought they could do better than Aaron. Sometimes you think you can do better than your spiritual leader. No, you can't. No, you can't. You just been deceived. Well, class, it's been a good class. And I try to get as much out to you as I can, but I'll see you next week. Oh my goodness.